Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
And welcome into Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth, taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. A cold, awful Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm not ready for this.
No?
No. Not ready for this cold.
It's going to get worse.
I know.
Did get to freezing, right? Got to freezing?
I think so. It's going to be, maybe it's Tuesday night, Wednesday night this week, where it's going to be like 30, 29. It's going to be awful.
Yeah, I don't like it either, man.
Speak for yourself.
Terrible. Porth's loving it.
This is the weather from God.
Reveling it.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm okay. Hey, you know what? The highs are going to be fine. So
yeah,
it's
that's
still,
fine.
You know, it's still fine fall weather for mid-November. But, yeah, these mornings get a little bit, you know, warm up the car weather maybe
yeah.
at some point.
What'd you fellas get into this weekend with no Titans football?
Let's see. Watched a lot still of football. Had a lot of errands to run. Did some errands. Did some shopping. Did some middle school football banquet action yesterday. Pretty boring, man. Made some chili. Made some chili yesterday. I made salmon. Okay, for the kids, I made pulled pork nachos Friday. I made salmon pesto bacon sandwiches Saturday.
Wow.
And white chicken chili yesterday.
Boom.
Wow. That's a trifecta.
You're a chef.
I love it.
That's incredible.
I try, man.
You love cooking, don't you?
I do. I like trying, you know. But, you know, that stuff's pretty – pulled pork nachos. I got some like Jack Daniel's pulled pork, and you know, put cheese on chips. There you go.
Have fun.
Chicken chili is fun though. You know, try some different ingredients,
yeah.
Stuff like that. Yeah. So there you go.
Porth, what'd you get into?
I watched a lot of football.
Did you?
A lot.
How about those Bearcats?
So, yep. Friday night, they were dominant as usual against East Carolina.
Took a little while. Took them a little while.
To get going, yeah.
Is that where we've gotten to with Cincinnati football? Dominant as usual.
I mean, Luke Fickell ran it up.
He said dominant as usual.
Yeah, he had to apologize. Yeah.
I saw that.
Also, I'm a big fan of Hugh Freeze, big fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and also cannot stand Penn State, Nick Chubb, or Cliff Kingsbury. So that's how my weekend went. With some of the betting action.
Yeah. Aha. There we go.
Tough breaks there at the end.
I mean,
Nick Chubb running out of bounds.
Browns minus 3.5. Nick Chubb runs out at the 1 with a minute left. And then had Cardinals minus 2.5. And Cliff Kingsbury elects to take a knee on the 2-point conversion instead of kicking an extra point.
Which is a smart coaching move, but did not help you much.
No, I don't care that it's a smart coaching move.
So when that Hail
Lost
Mary.
Lost money.
Yeah, so for a few seconds after that Hail Mary, which, by the way, I'm putting that – I think it might be the best Hail Mary I've ever seen. We've seen a lot of Hail Marys. I think that the level of difficulty there, was special, man. But in the few seconds after they connected, you were like, oh, my gosh.
I was thrilled.
Yeah, you were just jumping around the room.
I was thrilled.
Yeah.
And then I had my hands on my head thinking, what in the world when they line up and Kyler Murray takes a knee?
You don't want to get that thing blocked. Return. You got overtime.
I don't care.
Cliff.
It's a tough
big
one.
Cliff.
Cover the spread.
Coaching genius, Cliff Kingsbury.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's another example, though. Vegas, that line.
But thank God for Lane Kiffin.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I'll say.
What a game that was.
Got a guy fired.
Yeah, got Will Muschamp fired from South Carolina. Nobody had any defense at all in that game. It was awesome.
Robbie, you always make a joke about how you would launch yourself into the sun
if
one thing happens or another.
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin launched his clipboard into the sun.
Twice.
On one of those touchdowns.
Yeah, twice. Yeah.
Two of them, yeah.
Yeah, what's he doing? I mean, I know it's funny and everything. Like, the aerial view is funny. You see him put his hands up before he even throws the ball.
He just gets excited.
Just like he did when Amari Cooper against, I think it was Auburn.
Yeah.
Many years back when he was OC.
Yeah. So someone had to retrieve it out of the stands, is that right?
Well, the first one just landed normally. It landed back on the field. The second time he launched the clipboard, somebody had to go get it out of the stands.
And what if he hits someone in the head? Hits a kid in the head, you know?
With a flying clipboard?
Yeah. I don't know. Just saying.
May just be like a Mississippi rite of passage there in the stand. Just got to take one every now and then.
Yeah, just.
I can't believe they got the call sheet back. Like, they sent a graduate assistant into the stands to go get it.
Yeah, that's right, because you got stuff on there you don't want people to.
Yeah.
Lane's making it more fun. I think about Vols fans as I watch a lot of things going on.
Me too.
I watch Lane Kiffin, and I think about Vols fans. I watch Will Muschamp get fired. And I think about Vols fans. And I think about how, man, people just think Hugh Freeze is the greatest coach of all time right now.
Yeah.
Like,
he's got Liberty.
He's the hottest commodity in the history of coaching all of a sudden.
He is. And to that point, we got a poll question up at 1025 The Game on Twitter. And today's poll question is this. If you were a Power 5 college football program with a head coaching vacancy, who would you rather have as your head coach? Hugh Freeze, Jim Harbaugh. Right now, 43 votes, 74% say Hugh Freeze, 26% Jim Harbaugh. Rough weekend for Jim Harbaugh.
By the end of the show, I'll be shocked if Harbaugh has 10%.
Yeah.
Because everybody hates Harbaugh now. I hate him, too, because he helped me go 0-4 so far in Pigskin Pick'em.
Never pick against the Wisconsin Badgers.
You and I, Porth and I, both went with Michigan on that.
And we said on the air as we made that pick, we're like, you know what, Joe, by halftime we're going to regret it. It was probably 5 minutes into the game that I sent a text to you fools saying, should have gone Michigan or should have gone Wisconsin.
Scotty, on Wisconsin, baby.
That was embarrassing. I mean, there's been a lot of stuff about Harbaugh, but he's been good. I mean, he's still been good. He has a good record. He's recruited well. They beat most teams they're supposed to beat and all that stuff. That was embarrassing, man.
Learned two things from that game. Number one, I think the Jim Harbaugh-Michigan marriage coming to an end very quickly, whether that's them moving on or him choosing to move on himself. I mean, they just looked totally out of it. After they got down two scores in that game, they just looked like they'd rather be anywhere else than playing in that game. And number two, Wisconsin may be pretty good. They're not bad. They looked really impressive that game.
Yeah, they've been. They are legit. When you add like a stud quarterback like that to what they have already, they always are going to run the ball and play good D. But yeah, they are good. They are good. You got to consider them too in this whole picture. Even if they end up playing three games, I guess I don't know. But the bad thing is they don't play Ohio State. But I think we'll get that in the title game, and then you know they got a chance here. Also, the Pigskin Pick'em. I was so close. You guys are still just like every week, Vanderbilt, what's the point spread? I don't care. Give me the other team. I got you last week, and this week I totally blew it, man. I totally blew it. I was right there, and I was like, yeah, okay, I'll go Kentucky. And, Vanderbilt's getting better. Vanderbilt's offense can do stuff. Now, we'll see with Keon Brooks if he's healthy, but there's another thing as I think about Vols fans. As I'm watching football this weekend, and I saw Vol Twitter start to do the what's going to happen in this Vanderbilt game?
Yeah, you saw me start to do it too.
You did
on Twitter.
Too. There you go.
I'm very curious.
You're a member of Vol Twitter. Are you a member of Vol Twitter officially?
Honorary.
Okay.
The honorary captain.
Yeah, honorary member of Vol Twitter.
On occasion. You're an associate.
Yeah.
You're a Vol Twitter associate.
Maybe consultant. Yeah. Better word.
There you
Vol
go.
Twitter consultant.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a little bit of, I don't know, man. I don't know. They're getting better, and we haven't seen Tennessee in a while, but it's not going well for them, even not playing.
Yeah, nothing's going well for them. And we'll get to a subject in particular not going well for them a little bit later on in the show, a bad look for the Vols over the weekend. That coming up here in a little while. I thought early on that Boston College may have a chance against Notre Dame to really wreck this college football playoff picture up a little bit.
There's another bad pick of mine. Thank you for bringing it up.
Oh, no problem. And then Ian Book. Apparently, he's like really good now. Apparently, Ian Book at quarterback for Notre Dame is just incredible at this point.
When hasn't he been good?
The last two games. I mean, the last
in
two
his
games
career?
Yeah.
Many times.
Yeah, he's very average. He's been the dude who runs around and loads up on crappy teams and can't beat the good teams.
Yeah.
He's a lot better this year. I'm stunned by how much better he's gotten, frankly.
That game was ugly, though. I mean, how many turnovers were there? 8? I mean, it seemed like every time I looked at the TV, it was an interception or a fumble either way.
Yeah. Yeah, BC had that onside kick early when they were up, and it was like, okay, this is the recipe, but then it was a penalty. And I will say Notre Dame is so often overrated that you just assume that, but that's a pretty good team. That's a pretty good team.
They are, and I look at the rest of their schedule, maybe North Carolina, but I don't really see a loss coming up there. So may have two teams in the playoff from the ACC.
I mean, the four are pretty well set unless something unexpected happens, right?
Like Florida's going to have their chance against Alabama.
Yes.
But
and that's where it gets interesting. You know, what if Florida beats Alabama in some incredible turn of events? You know, a kick six type thing.
Yeah.
And that's Alabama's only loss. And then you have Clemson edging Notre Dame with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
You know, and then Ohio State's over here. Hey, maybe Michael Penix will make it simple this weekend. Game of the year in the Big Ten.
Go Indiana.
Buckeyes, Hoosiers. Game of the year.
Who would have thought?
Hoosiers are good.
Hoosiers are good. I couldn't believe the
pick.
Line.
Good pick on Michigan State.
I couldn't believe the line was 7 in that game.
Yeah.
Indiana's good.
I think some of it is brand name, like people, you know. I mean, there is a little bit of that. And fan base. I mean, Indiana football fans still are yet to emerge, you know, but they are good. He's a good QB. They play good D, good coach. Tom Allen's a guy other people are going to come after too, by the way.
Don't be leaving Indiana.
Should. Everybody's all, I'm not Hugh Freeze. Well, yeah, he may stay there, but I tell you what, that's a guy that's going to have opportunities elsewhere.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron text in, I'm calling the shot now. Indiana will beat Ohio State by 3 points. Just watch. An early called shot.
No shot.
Yeah.
An early called shot.
I'd love to see a good game, and I think that Indiana's offense will have some success. I can't get there. I'd love to see a game. I hope we get a game. What time is that game, by the way?
It's the big noon kickoff.
Ah, yes.
See? On Fox, 11 a.m.
Isn't that just a waste of space?
Yeah.
Put it in nighttime.
Yeah. Why do we – I don't get that.
All the best games this year have been at like 11 or 2:30.
Yeah.
Except for the Clemson-Notre Dame game.
Clemson-Notre Dame was good, but, yeah, there's been some bad primetime stuff.
There's some really bad.
Yeah, at least give us the 2:30 window on that.
Well, the 2:30 window is reserved for Cincinnati versus UCF.
Yes, of course it is.
Baby.
Oh, man. What a slate we've got coming up this weekend in college football. When we come back, there's a whole lot of AFC teams doing a whole lot of winning, and it's put the Titans in a very interesting position heading into this weekend against the Ravens. We'll discuss that coming up on the other side. But first, Joe, you got a word from FanDuel.
I do have a word from FanDuel and a word for people who are watching football and maybe see another ad for the FanDuel Sportsbook and say to themselves, is that legal? And here's the thing. It is legal in Tennessee. FanDuel Sportsbook is legal in Tennessee. And you can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free. You can get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. Seriously, no strings attached. Place any bet you want. And if you win, you keep the cash because you won. If you lose, you get the whole bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit. So you can take another shot at the end zone in the house. I'll throw out something that caught my eye this weekend. The Vols, Auburn, and the Vols are 10.5-point underdogs. A 10.5-point line for the Vols at Auburn might be a little bit enticing. Maybe you're a little bit unsure because it's the Vols and the way they've been playing. Well, you can bet that risk-free, get your money back if you lose. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, the risk-free bets are just the beginning. They got a simple app. They got live betting on every game. They've got game parlays. You can combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. And, of course, you get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. You've got player props. You've got futures. You've got odds boosts and specials this weekend. A lot of people took advantage, of course, of Vanderbilt boosting the line up against Kentucky to a very big line to where it was basically impossible to lose that bet. So claim your risk-free bet. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Be sure to sign up with promo code Joe so they know I sent you. FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Joe. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credits non-withdrawable and expire 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 800-889-9789.
We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And fellas, it has not been a good week for the Tennessee Titans. Obviously losing to the Colts last Thursday night, falling into second place in the AFC South. But with the Browns, the Dolphins, and the Raiders all winning yesterday, right now the Titans sit in ninth place in the AFC with a 6-3 record. So that means my favorite saying, which is actually my least favorite saying, if the playoffs were to end today, the Titans would not be a part of the playoffs, which is pretty incredible to think about when you think they started 5-0, now sit at 6-3, pretty good record. And they would not be in the playoffs if the season ended today.
Yeah.
Pretty nuts.
It is kind of nuts. You go from talking about that one seed and can they get in there and compete with the Chiefs and, you know, well, we thought the Ravens, who are also 6-3 and kind of in a bit of a tailspin, about to play each other this weekend. But then you go from that to out of it. Now, of course, Titans, they get the Ravens this week, another 6-3 team. They get the Browns. In the future, they get the Colts. So basically, they got three of those 6-3 teams are the next three games. I just thought of that. How about that?
Yeah.
Colts, you know, Ravens, Colts, Browns, back to back to back coming up here. So they can take care of some of that. But yeah, the Dolphins, really interesting. 3-0 with Tua as a starter. I mean, the Raiders, you know, the Broncos aren't anything special, but still, I feel like the Raiders are playing some pretty good football, man. John Gruden's got them. They got the big one with the trying to sweep the Chiefs this week.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of the AFC is – you had a great stat, which I'd love for you to recant for us on the AFC situation. That's a heck of a stat.
Yeah, this is coming from ESPN Stats and Info, and it says the AFC has 9 teams with at least 6 wins this season. And according to Elias Sports, it's the first time where one conference has had at least 9 teams with 6 wins through week 10 since the creation of the AFC and NFC. So AFC has been pretty historically good so far this year.
That's a heck of a stat. And don't recant it, by the way. I said recant. Yeah.
I will.
It's Monday, forge ahead. It's Monday morning. There you go. Yes. Continue to say it. Yes.
You look at the where the standings are right now, like Baltimore, we always think about, you know, the conversation in the AFC being like, okay, who's your top three teams? And pretty much all year long, it's been some variation of Kansas City, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore. Well, right now, Baltimore is the 7th seed in the AFC. They're holding on to that last playoff spot by a thread. Las Vegas at 5, Miami at 6. Tua has come in there. They're 3-0 since Tua has taken over as starting quarterback. I think they've won 5 in a row overall. Cleveland at 6-3, the 8, and right now Titans at 9. So that's based off a few different things. Indy has the tiebreaker over the Titans because of head-to-head, but all the other ones are based on conference winning percentage so far. And the Titans at the bottom of the totem pole as far as the 6-3 teams are concerned.
Yeah, 4-3 in the league, in the conference. Of course, the Bills, you know, are 7-3 right now. The Titans have a tiebreaker there, so they've played one more game, so you keep that in mind too. But
think about what a swing that Hail Mary could make down the stretch between the Titans and the Bills if it comes down to it.
No doubt.
From Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills were right there to be 8-2. And all of a sudden, it's so funny. I mean, how things change. It's sort of like, oh, the Patriots, they're out of it. And they're still in a bad spot at 4-5, but huge win last night. But now, if you're the Bills, you're a half game over the Dolphins, and you're in an actual race. You know, I mean, there might be one race in the AFC, which was this division, the AFC South. And it's looking more that way in terms of the North. You know, it's a 3-game lead now for the Steelers. We'll see if the Raiders can make it a race. They're going to have to sweep the Chiefs. And I have my doubts about them doing that. But the AFC East is actually a race now.
So of the three teams that are surging right now in the AFC that have overtaken the Titans, and that is the Browns, the Dolphins, and the Raiders, which one of those three teams do y'all feel the best about in terms of being the most dangerous to the Titans and the rest of the AFC?
I'm going to go with the Raiders. Like, I really like, obviously, what the Dolphins are doing. They're playing pretty good defense, and I think Tua, hey, it looks like a pretty good move. At the time, it was like, wait a minute. Fitzmagic is still – he's not Fitztragic yet. What are you doing? But
you mean Pick Patrick?
Pick Patrick. Oh, Pick I like Patrick. That. That's a good one too. But obviously it was a good move. I mean, Tua is playing well. They're pretty good. The Browns, I mean, it's hard to even – like. It seems like the Browns play every week in some conditions where you couldn't even have any idea what's going on with them. You know, they've played two, like, 7-2 games, you know, in complete sludge. But they're 6-3. They can run the ball. They got Nick Chubb back. Miles Garrett, I mean, you know, they're pretty good. But I think the Raiders, just because they're so explosive offensively, I mean, they can put points up. They've got weapons. They have completely revamped themselves on the outside. And obviously they have a great back in Jacobs. Carr's playing really well. I would go with them.
I would lean that way too. But I think it's interesting because you look at the Browns and you look at the Dolphins. I think – like peak-level quarterback play. When you put all three quarterbacks at their best, I'm not sure that Derek Carr is not where I'd rank last of those three, even with Tua coming in there. I don't know. It's an interesting question. But I think, like, peak Baker Mayfield looks pretty good out there. The problem is, as we know, like, Baker can have such a wild swing that you never really know what you're going to get out there. So I would rank the Raiders number one right now, but it's close of those three teams.
You think very peak close. Derek Carr is... I mean, I think peak Derek Carr is pretty darn good.
Well, peak Derek Carr is good. What I'm saying is, like, if you're giving me peak Derek Carr and peak of the other three, of the other two, I'm taking the peak of the other two.
Are you?
Yeah.
I just haven't seen – I mean, I like Tua a lot. I think Tua is going to be good. No doubt about it. I honestly haven't seen much of them with him, but
– they're pretty good.
Derek Carr, you know, you're talking about a guy who has done some good things. I mean, obviously going into this year, it was like, well, brought in Marcus. I don't know. You know, I mean, shoot.
Has he gotten in yet? Marcus played yet?
Is he on IR still? I don't even know.
I was about to say, is he even healthy? I mean, probably not.
Like, who's their backup if Carr gets hurt right now?
I don't know.
$7 million, right? $7.5 million?
Matt McGloin.
Yes.
Penn State legend. There's a good football program, by the way.
Of those three, I would probably go with the Dolphins.
Really?
The Dolphins look pretty stinking good.
They do.
And they've also proven themselves by beating the Rams, going on the road and beating the Cardinals.
They look good.
They play sound defense. You know, Tua has gone in there. They haven't missed a beat since, you know, Fitzmagic gave him a pretty good head start. I mean, I would probably lean Dolphins. It's close between the Dolphins and the Raiders. I don't yet put the Browns in that mix because I am just not impressed with the Browns.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Browns are, I don't know. I mean, what
they
what
have
is,
a negative point differential on the season.
I mean, yesterday the game against
thanks
the Texans.
To the Steelers.
Yes. Yesterday the game against the Texans, I mean, it was 3-0 for like 75% of that game.
All right, so the live over-under on that, I know on BetMGM,
yeah.
At one point early in the fourth quarter was 15.5. I have never seen an over-under that low.
15.5.
Well, ugh. Yeah, and that was one of those. So I mentioned I was at a football banquet yesterday, and I actually, of course, you shouldn't tweet from football banquets as a parent, but I looked at that score, and I was like, what? I tweeted, like, someone tell me what is going on right now, you know, because it made no sense. I mean, I looked at that game. In normal conditions, I would assume Browns, Texans, I would assume the over-under. I would take an over on, you know, 55. I mean, like, right? I mean, that's going to be a wild up and down. And I'm like, yeah. Okay, so are they playing in a hurricane? Yeah, basically people tweet back, pretty much, yeah. So, what, 51-mile-an-hour winds when
yeah,
they start?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
It was wild. Also, they lined up for, like, a 45-yard field goal and direct snapped it to the kicker who punted it.
Yeah.
I like that. That's some good old-time bad-weather football right
on
there.
On a 45-year-old, not year old, but 45-yard yard field goal.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Quick kicking, all that stuff. You got to love that.
But it
worked. Pinned him in the five.
Hey. It is amazing, though, just how quickly the tide has turned with the Titans, though, of 5-0. You're feeling great about yourself. And even now, like the record's not that bad, and they're not in like this hopeless situation. But just to be 6-3 and ninth in the AFC is insane. Just based on some other years that we've seen where 6-3, I mean, heck, it could put you at number three in the AFC at this point.
Yeah. And like you said, the playoffs don't start today, so
there's plenty of time.
Yeah. You know,
plenty of opportunity.
Being 6-3 is not a bad thing. It's being 5-0, fighting for the one, and all of a sudden now you lose 3 or 4 and you're 6-3 and you're out of the playoffs. That's a little bit jarring.
Well, and you think about it in context of the Ravens game this weekend. We knew this game was going to be big all the way along, but we thought it could be big. You know, back when the Titans were 4-0, 5-0, we thought the Ravens game could be big in terms of battling for that one seed.
Right.
And it doesn't look like that's going to be the case now. Right now, it's a big game for maybe getting in the playoffs or not. It's pretty insane how quickly that changed.
Yeah, I mean, the Ravens, certainly, unless something really changes here, they've already lost to the Steelers and they're 3 games back. So they're kind of like reality Ravens is that you're fighting for, you know, the best wild card position you can have. So that's what this game has become. It's also, of course, you know, the Ravens probably some anger over last night, which was pretty ugly.
Yeah.
From their perspective. Also a bad weather game, but still, I mean, that did not look like a contender to me out there.
They're overrated.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with them is like they've been all over the map, but when they had the Chiefs in that big showdown, it was like, okay, they're just not at that level. They've gone out and thumped some teams well too, but it's the same thing. If they get up on you and play their kind of game, they're very good. And then, you know, you put them in some of these other situations and they just haven't responded well.
Not at all. When we come back, who has the most pressure underneath them on the Titans to get into the playoffs this year? We'll debate that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. So we laid it out there for you in the last segment, just the state of the AFC right now. Right now the Titans in ninth place at 6-3 in the AFC due to some tiebreakers. So they'll have plenty of opportunities starting this Sunday against the Ravens to get back into the mix in terms of the playoffs. But Joe, as you look here and evaluate where the Titans are right now, we obviously know what happened last year. They went on a run. They get to the AFC title game. You feel like maybe you're a piece or two away from making a legitimate run to the Super Bowl this season. And the Titans have tried a few different things in order to make that work out. Vic Beasley, Jadeveon Clowney, Jonathan Joseph coming in, Steven Gostkowski coming in to handle the kicking duties, all of which have not lived up to what we had in terms of our expectations heading into this season. But nevertheless, the Titans sit here at 6-3, 9 games into the season, still on a good track to make the playoffs this year. As you evaluate this team, who do you think has the most pressure on them for the second half of this season in terms of making sure the Titans make the playoffs? Who do you think's feeling the heat the most if they don't get in this year?
And we're including the whole organization.
The whole organization. Yeah,
I mean,
all of them.
It's John Robinson. To me, I mean, John Robinson has been here, obviously, the longest. He's been here longer than Vrabel. I mean, obviously, if they don't make the playoffs, then there's a whole bunch of second guessing. As Vrabel said, was it Friday? You know, you guys are good at second guessing.
Yes.
He said that to you, Joe.
He did say that to me. And I appreciate that. I'm a professional second guesser. Professional writer, professional second guesser.
He said he respects your job.
Yes.
Do you think he was genuine in that respect?
I think he enjoys the second guessing.
Okay. All
that
right.
We do. But, you know, he'll get second guess for not hiring a D coordinator, and I think that's fair, and I think that's probably changes next year. Like, people have got to let go of, like, bring in a D coordinator. It's not happening. Like, the people in the building are going to figure it out. But Vrabel's under pressure. He's going to be nitpicked and second-guessed, and it's fair. I mean, even just the decision to go, you know, change punters this last week. That's what my questions were about that. And when when we're talking about second guessing, you know, that's a decision that blew up in Vrabel's face. But on the player front, you know, probably like Tannehill's a guy who, if he cares about what people say about him, people are going to, I mean, I'm already seeing people, oh, see, Miami Tannehill and all this stuff, which is overblown, but he hasn't played as well lately. But to me, it's John Robinson because of all the moves that you were making to get that last step. Even though it was a surprise run to the AFC Championship game, I mean, look, the team was totally different with Tannehill last year. They made that run. It wasn't some fake smoke and mirrors run. They went and beat Baltimore, beat New England, and then you're right there, and it's like, what two or three moves can you make to push you over the top? And Isaiah Wilson, Vic Beasley, Jadeveon Clowney. Again, I'm not going to hammer the Clowney thing because, I think that's a go-for-it move that you had to try to make, but the Beasley thing was a disaster. Mm-hmm. And the Isaiah Wilson pick, the other two picks after that, it's not anybody's fault those guys got hurt. But Isaiah Wilson has been – that was a questionable pick from the start. And why you didn't draft a pass rusher, even why you didn't draft a receiver, is worth questioning. I mean, the whole thing, you know, Robinson's been here and has really got this team to a solid place. But if you go five straight 9-7, like at some point, 9-7 every year is like, okay, well, that's not cutting it. And it's – there was a heightened – it's you know, you raise expectations when you do well. So credit to them, to the organization, for getting to the point where the expectations raise. But then it gets harder to meet them. And if you come in way under those, and if they don't make the playoffs this year, there's a lot of upset people in this town.
There are. And I want to point out, like, I don't think John Robinson's, like, in danger of losing his job or anything like that. Certainly don't feel that way about Mike Vrabel either. But there is something to be said for getting to a point where you're right at the doorstep of knocking down your goal. And it seems like every move they've made this year, not every move, but most of the moves they've made this year just haven't worked out. Like, the draft pick right now of Isaiah Wilson, it just looks awful. I mean, you got a guy that hasn't contributed anything. You're nine games into a season where – especially, like, you could even, I guess, defend the pick now in terms of the position because Lawan went down. So you're hoping, okay, you drafted a tackle in the first round. Lawan goes down. You move Dennis Kelly over to the left, and your first-round pick comes in over to the right, and you're fine. And he just hasn't been close to doing that. So I even know I have less of a problem with the position itself. That's when they drafted the right tackle, I was like, pass rush? Hello? Are y'all not seeing what we see out there in terms of not being able to generate enough pressure? I even feel better about that now in terms of, you know, Lawan goes down, we see how important he is. The position that you drafted in the first round should be able to come in. And if he did, like, if Isaiah Wilson came in and was playing regularly and was contributing at right tackle this year, nobody would be talking about taking him in the first round. Like, nobody would be talking about drafting a right tackle instead of a pass rusher. But the fact that he's not, that pick alone just makes the draft look so bad. It's like you're not getting anything this year from your draft class.
I think people would still be talking about not taking a pass rusher at all, though. You know, like Terrell Lewis,
you mean
by the
whole
way,
draft.
Yeah. You know, but by the way, Terrell Lewis starting to really make an impact for the Rams. You know, but yeah, you're right. That pick when you saw it is like, okay, they've got a guy now. They lost Conklin. They've got a guy now who, you know, they feel like can, you know, be the guy long term. And if Isaiah Wilson is that eventually, then you can change how you look at this draft. But still, you're in this. The NFL windows are so small. And basically, I look at this team like it's a 2-year window that you know you got Tannehill and Henry. And obviously, you can get out of those deals. They're 4-year deals, but, you know, they aren't necessarily going to be 4-year terms here. So basically, it's like 2 years with those two guys, you know, special players at a running back and quarterback, and what can you do to try to make this push? You know, it's so as a long-term pick, I get it. And yes, like you said, depth's important. And if he just had a regular preseason and looked good and all that and was playing, then it would not be what it is now, which is what in the world is happening. It looks like he's getting closer to being active. But again, you're talking about nine games. The dude has not been active for a game yet.
And then the other side of the ball, like, I don't know really how to split up the blame of what we've seen so far between Robinson and Vrabel because, you know, you have some fans look at it and say every move that Robinson brought in on defense, it just hasn't worked. And then you've got other fans that look at it and say Vrabel's being stubborn, he didn't hire a defensive coordinator, and that's why the defense is awful on the other side of the ball. I mean, I think there's some truth to both of those things there. But Porth, going back to what you said last week, it feels like even when everybody was healthy offensively and they were scoring 35, 40 points a game, the defense was so bad that it almost feels like you're wasting a year of Tannehill and Henry just because that defense is such a problem and has been such a problem.
I mean, it's when you look at the fact that you may not get this version of Tannehill for year after year after year, or this version of Derrick Henry year after year after year, it, you know, the defensive issues become that much more glaring, where you're not in this every single year. You know that as a Titans fan, that you don't get a shot at the Super Bowl or, you know, being a playoff team every single year. And now, even going back to last segment, where you guys were mentioning how they're in ninth in the AFC. Even after starting 5-0, they are in ninth because the AFC is so strong this year,
yeah,
that even a really good offense may not be good enough to get you even to the playoffs, let alone do damage once you get there.
So it's like you look back at what you thought the defense would be. For one thing, I figured, okay, Vic Beasley, obviously he's gone down, but Mike Vrabel was a Vrabel pickup. Mike Vrabel's a coach. Maybe you can get a little bit more out of him. That absolutely didn't happen at all. Again, Clowney, you know, he's not worth that money. And if this ends up hurting you down the road in terms of signing some of these guys that you want, then it's worth looking back at it and saying, you know, what were you doing? But again, what if he didn't go get Clowney to at least patch up what he didn't get in Vic Beasley? We still haven't seen Adoree Jackson, and you have to keep that in mind. And that's, again, no one's fault that Adoree Jackson hasn't been out there, that Christian Fulton has been hurt. They've had some injuries, Taylor Lewan included. But the whole, even just stopping the run and just being better up front, it's been really disappointing. And the Colts, again, just pounded them the other night. And that's been a big problem. And that's where I think you point at maybe the coordinator situation. I don't think Dean Pease is here with this. Look, Jonathan Joseph out there and stuff, and all of a sudden they're locking teams down and holding them to 17 points. I don't think that's some magic elixir, but I do think that it's a good idea to have a defensive coordinator. That's why most teams do it every year. You know, and that's going to change next year. I'm confident in that. But I do think it's more personnel than that. I think it's more what Robinson brought in that didn't work, and of course, some of the injuries. I think it's more like this is what you have to work with, and it's not all working together right now.
So let me ask you this. I've gone on record saying, I mean, I don't think John Robinson's job's in jeopardy or anything like that, but what happens if they do miss the playoffs this year and you're heading into next season with – you know, Ryan Tannehill, what it'll be, 33 at that point. Derrick Henry going into year two of his deal. How much pressure is then on Robinson and Vrabel at that point if they don't return to the playoffs this year?
Yeah, I'd say that next year would be a high pressure year for sure. Yeah, I don't see any scenario where they'd be in any sort of jeopardy. In the NFL, things move fast. They do, but I mean, Robinson has overall still had a good tenure. Same with Vrabel. If they totally bottomed out this year, you know, that's the thing. What's it look like? You know, you say miss the playoffs. Do they go 10-6 and somehow they get edged out?
Yeah.
Or do they go, you know, 7-9 and just play like garbage? Then I still don't think anybody's in trouble this year, but I think next year it's like, okay, you guys have something to prove.
To answer the question at hand, though, of who's under the most pressure, I have you're saying John Robinson?
Yeah.
I think it's clearly Mike Vrabel.
You think so?
Yeah.
Just to get to the playoffs, at this point, it is clearly Mike Vrabel. Because the pressure's on him to right the ship defensively. The pressure's on him to make sure that his team is ready to play and that all three phases of the game are at their absolute best in these next 3 weeks when they clearly weren't last week.
I would agree, but my question would be, what is the defense's best? Like what version of the defense do you like? If this defense plays at its top level, what does that look like? Is it good enough?
Pretty good if it's against Nick Foles.
Well,
I would say we haven't seen it at its best this year. A, because it hasn't been fully healthy. It may not ever be fully healthy. But B, they look poorly coached. on defense.
Yeah.
They got highly exposed Thursday night. That's where I say somewhere along the lines to make the playoffs, you have to turn the tides defensively and at least make it average at best. It's not going to be some great defense. But the pressure's on Mike Vrabel to get the most out of that defense in these games against the Ravens, the Colts, the Browns, which are essentially three playoff games in the middle of the season.
Well, it's indisputable that Vrabel has more to do with what happens from here, right? I mean, so it's like the pressure, there's more pressure on him, I guess, because he has more impact on what happens. I mean, Robinson has put together the team, and here you go. I guess I look at it like who would be more criticized if it didn't happen? I would go Robinson. But you're right. I mean, Vrabel actually on a week-to-week basis is like, here's the guys, do something with them. Robinson is sitting there hoping he does. Right?
Robinson's probably the right answer on that, but I will say if the defense continues to just look awful and the special teams continue to look awful and they do nothing with Craig Aukerman, there's going to be a lot of heat on Vrabel, not to the extent that he's, you know, in jeopardy, but just the sheer fact that he didn't do what he needed to do to get this team back to the playoffs.
Like, if you're Amy Adams Strunk, you know, you've got to be like, dude, you're hiring a coordinator next year.
Yeah.
What is this? And he may argue, well, I know I'm in the coaching and practice every day, and I know what we're doing. Well, fine, but get a coordinator because you're missing another brain in there to come up with something else and coordinate the defense, you know.
And it's obvious what's happening right there, right now. It's not working on defense. Something needs to change.
Yeah. But, yeah, let's all stop with the – bring in a coordinator now thing.
That's not going to happen.
Not happening.
When we come back, I had a called shot on Friday that I was fairly confident about heading into the weekend for the Titans. It did not happen. What does that mean for the game on Sunday? We'll discuss what that is on the other side of the break. But first, hope, health, and connection during these unsteady times. It's never been more important for all of us to have these in our lives, but it's even more so for our children and our teens. So please join STARS for an important virtual campaign. Cherish the hope, health, and connection of our young people. This 6-week campaign launched on Monday, October 19th, and will run until Tuesday, December 1st, which is Giving Tuesday. Please follow the campaign and celebrate all the incredible ways STARS provides hope, health, and connection within our community. All proceeds raised will go directly to their school-based prevention and mental health counseling services, as well as their intensive outpatient adolescent treatment program. To learn more, please go to starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Talking some Titans ahead of their big matchup against the Ravens on Sunday. Joe, let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texts in, says, hashtag Wade Phillips 2021. Already looking ahead to next year and defensive coordinators out there. Wade Phillips.
Okay. I've got Matty Pat as the leader in the clubhouse. Although, you know,
those Lions,
the big win over the Washington football team. 59 yarder.
Yeah.
When they blew like a 3-touchdown lead.
Yeah.
So Matty Pat, maybe he survives.
By the way, they gave up 390 yards passing to Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Which, phenomenal story.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Amazing story.
But I can't remember a box score ever where Alex Smith had 390 underneath where it says passing yards.
Yeah.
I thought that Alex Smith was going to lead that comeback yesterday, but maybe Matty Pat holds on to his job. What do you think of a Matt Patricia, defensive coordinator, Bill O'Brien, offensive coordinator combination for the Titans next year after Arthur Smith is coaching the Texans?
Ben, absolutely. It's all coming together, man. It's all coming together. Think of the excitement in Nashville.
It'd be great. We've had some people text in saying they should hire Bill O'Brien as a D coordinator. I don't think that would work.
That's an interesting – well, some people switch sides of the ball at times. Bring him in right now. Just bring in a whole bunch of people. You know, bring in Dean Pease. Just go. Come on. I'm sure Dean Pease will come out of retirement right now. Go get him. He was at a game.
Yeah, he was in stands the other
day. He was clearly hand signaling from the stands. That was obvious, wasn't it?
It was the only game the Titans played good defense all year.
How about that? He just needs to be on site.
Had nothing to do with the Bears and everything to do with Dean Pease.
Absolutely. That's what we've learned from this discussion so far. Fellas, I'll be honest with you. When we left the show on Friday, I was fairly confident that we would see a move later that day that the Titans had released Steven Goskowski, and they did not. Steven Goskowski, still a part of the team. As we sit here today, are we confident that as this week plays out, Goskowski will continue to be a member of the Titans and he'll be kicking on Sunday? Or do you think there's still a chance that they make a move this week at that position?
Well, I mean, it has to be today. So you got the six-day protocol for any newly acquired player, including from another team. So you, if you got someone in today, then they could be, you know, they could be active for Sunday. It has to be today. So I'm guessing that my called shot is going to be right.
Boo.
That Steven Goskowski is going to be kicking in Baltimore. But I will say, Robbie, that first of all, even during doing the show Friday, like, I called that shot, but I called it because I wasn't confident. You know, I mean, that's what calling a shot is. Like, you're not feeling great about it. And I was about 51-49 keep. But again, the problem is, like we talked about Friday, I think when you go through this carousel that they've gone through and then you go say, all right, you're out now, and okay, who are we getting? That's not the way to do it, man. You better have an answer first. I will also say that Vrabel answered differently. We were just talking about Vrabel's presser, you know, the second-guessing comment. He also answered on Goskowski different than he to me, and I asked some of the other, you know, people who cover the Titans, and differently than he had, and I'm trying to find it right now. You know, basically, he was asked a few questions about Goskowski, but basically he said, you know, we're going to evaluate our options, some to that extent, which is not something that he's ever even gone to before. Does it necessarily mean anything? No, but I did find it interesting. Yeah. Here we go. He's missed some. He's had a lot that he'd like to have back. This is Vrabel. And we're going to have to continue to evaluate that and see what our options are and make a decision. Like, well, when he said that, I thought actually more along your lines, like, uh-oh.
Yeah, so
there might be something coming this afternoon. But there wasn't. So, like right now, my understanding of the practice squad situation is you can protect players for the week. But right now is a window. So tomorrow is when you protect your practice squad players again for the next week. So in theory, as I understand the rules, today could be a day to, like, you could go get a Greg Joseph in Tampa Bay, who, of course, was going to be your kicker all along before you swapped out at the last minute. Tomorrow he can be protected again by the Bucks. So I guess I'm telling you there's a chance, Robbie, but I think we're going to see Steven Goskowski kicking Sunday in Baltimore.
What's going to be your reaction when he misses the first kick? How long can this continue before just look at Vrabel and be like, dude, what are you doing?
My reaction, I'll probably like take a bite of my pretzel in the press box in Baltimore, you know? I mean, and not be shocked.
Just same old, same old.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, look, every time he lines up now, there's this anticipation of what's going to go on. And that's not what you want with a kicker. So I've got to think that it's kind of like last stand for him if he's out there Sunday. But again, if you're going to make the move, you better have an answer. You don't want to keep going through this stuff. At some point, I agree with you that, like, at some point, whatever that point is, it's not good enough. 12 for 20 is not good enough.
I just don't know how we haven't reached that point yet. It's going to cost you games if this continues. I mean, it's – and we talked about it a lot on Friday, and I don't want to keep harping on it, but this is just unacceptable. You've hired a guy to come in and be a kicker that's reliable, and you've done it because you've looked at his history and you've based your decision off what he was and how reliable he used to be. He's not that guy anymore, and this cannot continue any longer. Now, me having said this, he'll probably go out on Sunday and go like 4 for 4 against the Ravens and like shut everybody up for another week. But the problem is, what's he going to look like the next week? I mean, it's been so wildly inconsistent with him that literally every time he gets up there to kick, my thoughts in my head are, well, this could go either way. Like, there's never a time, no matter where it is, that I get up there and I'm like, oh yeah, Steven Goskowski, he's definitely knocking this through. Like, I just don't have it.
Speaking of 4 for 4, Ryan Succop yesterday for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers went 4 for 4.
He did.
We got to keep that. We got to keep that scoreboard going. So I know it was 41-46 for those three guys. So gonna keep that. Gonna keep that trio. And so he was 4 for 4. How we got Parkey Santos is tonight.
Yeah,
Parkey did make one for the Browns yesterday.
Yeah. Was he one for one?
Let me check.
Because I mean, the percentages are going up for if former kickers.
Yeah, so that'd be 45 for
he. 45 he for, was Parkey was one for one.
See? 46 for 51.
Mm.
The kickers that they all last year got rid of, including like the guy who should still be here, you know.
So Gostkowski has missed more than those three combined, is what we're talking about.
And they are a combined 90.2%. Those three guys.
Man. What's incredible? 60?
I mean, like this is one of those things. Like if you're John Robinson, honestly, and you're looking at this whole thing, you've got to be at some point just throwing something at the wall, right? Like. What is going on here? Especially like Santos, that was the move that's the right move. You know?
Yeah.
Santos the right move. I'm surprised he's as good as he is. Parkey was weird, man. Parkey's been good. He had the double doink and it's like it's gonna haunt him the rest of his career. He's pretty good. Suck up is that's the killer.
Yeah.
You know, he should still be just like Brett Kern, your long term excellent kicker that you inherited.
Go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. CD text in, the panic level for Titans fans right now. He puts a colon in there and just says Tennessee Vols. That's all he says.
Same panic level. I don't think it's that panic level, is it?
I don't know. Look, I'll be honest. After watching the Ravens game last night, I feel a little bit better about the Titans against the Ravens this week.
They
look pretty bad.
I do as well, but let's face it. The Ravens are liable to put up 30 on the Titans defense because the Titans defense isn't any good. I mean, the Ravens, good defenses are figuring out the Ravens.
Yeah.
The Titans do not have a good defense.
Well, it's interesting because it's a different kind of matchup. Like, you know, the Titans had a great plan, you know, obviously last year. It's so hard to judge their defense week to week and then even have any idea what they'll do against the Ravens. You know what I mean? But ultimately, they got to be strong up front. You got to be, obviously, it's assignment football. You got to tackle well. And there's a lot of things that they're not doing. This year either. It's not just like bad third down defense and bad coverage and pass rush. They're also really losing up front way too often.
Yeah.
Or making mistakes with run fits, whatever it is. I mean, I'm all over the map on how this game could go.
And you'll be there, won't you?
I will.
Wow. Witnessing it in person.
Like I said, I will be eating my pretzel bite. I have no idea what they'll have in the press box, but I'll be eating it. And watching Gostkowski line up for a field goal.
When we come back, we'll recap the weekend that was in the SEC, including a big move made in the coaching world in the SEC. We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Boto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21+.
Moto Casino.